Hey Potters, welcome to episode 171 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. We are back from ArlingCon. Yay!
Hey. It's just a one-day event. I don't know why you got so overexcited about that.
It was a lot of content and it was a lot of material, and I haven't been to a convention in a long time. I don't have the stamina I used to. I'm old.
Quote unquote old, relatively speaking. In cosplay years, yes. As a human being, no.
I'm getting there. I do have streaks of silver in my hair, although it's from other things.
I know 20-year-olds who have silver and gray in their hair. So, yeah, whatever. Everybody ages differently. Hush. Don't be a grandma yet.
Hi, Potters. Don't mind us telling people to get off of our cosplay lawn.
Oh, man. Wait till the after session. Woo! I has a list.
All right. But before we get to talking about ArlingCon, which we will do this episode, first we have cosplay updates. And I actually don't have any cosplay updates because I ended up taking some time off from working on cosplay for a little bit, mostly because ArlingCon and also because work.
Because of work and work and a fun day and then work.
Yeah. That basically sums it up, yes.
Well, okay, then I guess this is just a segment for me.
Yes.
Woo!
Proceed.
Really, I don't have a whole lot. It doesn't look like I've done a whole lot, but it's been a lot of work to get to this point. I'm steadily moving forward with my Snow White piece. So there it is a little bit more up close, but mostly I just had to get the lining in, and that was a big pain in the tuchus because I missized it. That was my dumb fault. Whoopsie doodle. But I've also been top stitching like crazy because I love top stitching. It's so pretty. Oh, my camera's so funky right now. Oh my goodness. I also have went ahead and cut out the skirt for it. It's banded together. The lining is half attached. I can't fully attach because I have to do all that applique on the bottom and then have to rhinestone the crud out of it. But it's a really lovely shade of gold, and I wish I could show it to you, but it's kind of all bunched up on my dress form right now, so it's not like sitting on the floor getting dirty, because I really don't want that to happen. And I need to trim it a little short too. So yeah, it's there. It's pretty. I promise. I'll try to show pictures later. And the only other thing that I've been working on is I've made myself yet another petticoat. It is so big, and I've distorted my camera yet again. This one is for another costume that I'm working on. I'm hoping to wear this for Final Fantasy Fan Fest. Fingers crossed I can get tickets next week, God willing, because I have had zero luck in getting tickets in anything this year. I'm hoping all that bad luck will turn to good luck because I really, 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 really want to go. But this is the costume for it. The character's name is Etta. It's a very Lolita-esque type dress. So again, something completely outside of my comfort zone for reasons I don't understand, but she's a really cool character and I love her. So this is a 3-tiered petticoat with crinoline. So it's nice and floofy, and it's got a lot of stability and structure to it. I will show a photo of this later, but it can stand up on its own. Like, I don't have to be wearing it. It stands up on its own because it just has that much structure to it. So this is perfect for what I need, and I always do elastic waistband because those ties never work. People, pro tip for your hoop skirts and for your petticoats, don't do the tie system that so many people do because those just slip throughout the day. You're constantly having to retie it. Get elastic. I don't care if it's not historically accurate. Get elastic, because then you won't have to fiddle with it all day long. I promise you, it'll be the best decision you ever made. Elastic is cheap, and you can get it anywhere. Just get elastic. But yeah, there you go. This was a lot of work, though, because each one of these tiers of gathering, it's not really ruffles, but it's just floof at this point. Let's see, so it's 3, 12. I think altogether I've got, I want to say 18 yards. So there's probably like 18 yardage of fabric in this mess. And it's just so, But this took a lot of time and it's got some heft to it, but it'll be really nice when I can finally start getting the dress put together and patterning it. But yeah, like I said, it's not a lot of stuff, but it is a lot of work having to put that together because this was like 2 solid days of construction and cutting and making sure I got my measurements right because math is a thing. Math is a thing.
It's a useful thing.
It's a very useful thing. I wish my high school teachers told me how useful it was, and then maybe I would have paid more attention and tried a little harder.
Maybe that's how they teach it now.
I've heard that it's mostly more about the application of mathematics, which is good, because that's something that I desperately needed. I never understood why I needed math. I just knew that math was important. Thanks. A little late now.
Pro tip for those who are in the teaching world now, it really helps to know, when am I going to use this and why am I going to use this?
It
would have helped so much in school. I mean, I appreciate the learning experience I had, but knowing something theoretically is very different than being able to actually like apply it.
Mm-hmm. Application
and find
is
it useful.
Important.
And math is actually used a lot in cosplay. It really is. All right. So with that, we're going to move into our ArlingCon review. And you see me looking down because I'm actually holding one of their lovely program guides in my hand. And this is mostly for my memory's sake because it's been a week and I've slept since then. And I've had a lot of things happen since then. And so I need a reminder of exactly what happened. So this was the first time that we've actually been to ArlingCon, which is a one-day convention in Arlington, Texas. It's held at the University of Texas Arlington Library, or basically one of their gathering areas that is supported by the library. And there were a lot of people.
It's a big building.
Yes, I think there were more people than perhaps they had anticipated because we basically filled the building. They have outgrown that building. I don't know if they're going to be able to hold it there next year.
Depends on, you know, because I mean, it's for them, this is actually held by Arlington Library, like general, not just, you know, UTA proper. Mm-hmm. For them, it's a free event. So they have to solicit donations and locations wherever they can. So I'm sure for them, that's probably the largest space that they could get available. All things considered. And I know that like 2 weeks prior, they had just opened up a brand new library. So we know that that wasn't going to be ready for any type of events.
But they do have really cool things in that library, including 3D printers.
Yes.
Yes, they have really cool things. But for them holding it in this space, I think they did really well with the layout. For the most part, there were a couple of things that, you know, we can constructively criticize for the layout. But otherwise, they seem to use the space very efficiently. Everything ran on time for the most part. I would say that it would have helped a little bit for them to have, I don't want to say more signs, better signs, I think, is kind of what I have in mind, in that if you needed to know where certain things were, unless you entered the building from a certain area, you wouldn't necessarily know unless you found a map. And thankfully, UTA does have maps on the walls in various places, and it'll say, you are here. And that way you can kind of locate where you're supposed to be. But that can be a little difficult sometimes. So it would have helped if they had more of the type of signs that say, you know, panels this way, so that you kind of had a general idea of the direction you're supposed to be kind of shuffling off into.
Yeah, because like the one sign that they had in the main entrance area, when you got past the exhibitors and the artists, you actually had to go down a hallway before you saw a sign that says panels this way. And we're like, oh, because I started leading Amber a different way, thinking that that's where the stairs were based off of my memory of the map. And I was like, nope, this is a dead end. This ain't gonna cut it.
Right. And speaking of that hallway that we ended up going down, that was basically a dead end, which I think led to a ticket office or something similar to it.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a little bit bad for the vendors that were down that hallway, because they didn't seem to get very much foot traffic, and they were actually sponsors of the convention. So I felt a little bit bad that somehow the natural flow of the place didn't lead people more down that hallway and kind of around to the other side. But I think it's because it was the equivalent of a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
That basically nobody ended up going down that direction.
if they had probably took some of the tables out and maybe moved them in different areas, because like the dealer's room could have definitely accommodated like a couple more tables, and maybe took that cul-de-sac and just kind of rounded it off so you only had like three or four vendors. And so that way people can kind of naturally like weave their way around it. That probably would have helped.
The dealer's den would have been a good area for sponsors anyway, just because of the amount of foot traffic that they
Oh
got.
yeah,
And
definitely.
they had a full dealer's den, you guys. There was a pretty wide variety of vendors selling various types of things that are fairly generic to conventions. It's not specific to an anime convention. It's very general, Comic-Con-ish. And from what I saw, there were a lot of people who were visiting with booth vendors and browsing the wares. I don't know how much spending was actually done because I didn't see very much in the way of money changing hands, but I did note that a lot of the vendors had the little square type readers plugged into various tablets so that they could take credit cards on site. So at least one of the benefits of being in a university center is that they have a pretty robust infrastructure for things like wireless and, well, I was going to say cellular, except that you could only get reception in like one portion of the building.
Yeah, there were many times where people were texting me and I'm like, I'm in a panel room, and then it'd be dead silence. And then I leave, I'm like, oh hey, there's all the text messages.
And
Whoops.
if you were close to the ground at all, so if you were sitting on the floor for any reason, there was no reception.
Heck no. I will say though that Amber and I were definitely patrons because we picked up this cool stuff. I have to show this off. I'm going to try it this weekend, hopefully. Fingers crossed. It's called Hex Flex, which I've heard before. It's supposed to be this really cool primer and sealer medium that you can mix with basic acrylics. You can water it down. You can even use airbrushing with it. And it's supposed to be flexible paint. So I got myself and Amber a tube of this stuff. We're going to give it a whirl and see what happens. They had a little craft foam demo at their table, and it was great because it didn't crack or anything. I was like, okay, this is kind of cool.
We'll be reviewing it for you guys in a proper product session, but I will say that in general, the ladies who were at the booth for TNT Cosplay Supply, where we got these, were very helpful. They were friendly without being too friendly, because I understand that, you know, when you go have a booth at a con, your job is to market your wares. You are supposed to approach people and basically get involved in a way, get in their face a little bit, but they weren't aggressive in the least. So I didn't feel like overwhelmed. I didn't feel like I wanted to just kind of go away. They were very naturally helpful people. And they had a good assortment of wares at their booth. They've expanded their offerings quite a bit from just, you know, EVA foam, which is mostly what they're known for. But we stopped by a couple of times in the exhibit hall, just kind of looking around. We did have a few friends who were vending in there as well. And they seem to have really good traffic to their tables. But we weren't primarily there to go buy stuff. We were there for panels.
Lots of
And
panels.
there were a lot of panels. They
By the
had
way,
their own
check our
cosplay
YouTube
panel.
channel. This is where I
Yes.
put the YouTube link.
They had dual cosplay tracks, not just one, but two cosplay tracks.
I was waiting for you to do that.
I have to. It's somewhere in my contract, I'm sure.
I'm sure it is. I have to review it again.
Except that I totally have no contract. Anyway, so we basically ended up having to split up because these were held in different rooms at different times and they tended to overlap. So if you happen to be an attendee, you ended up having to kind of pick and choose your battles because there's no human way, unless you have a clone somewhere, of being able to attend cosplay simultaneous panels. So we filmed what we could of those so that you guys can see them for those who weren't able to be there or ended up having to make, you know, the lesser of the two evils kind of choices of what you wanted to attend. And I don't mean that they're evil, just that you had to choose between panels.
Right.
Because that's what always happens at cons when schedules overlap. You have to make some hard choices. They usually leave you feeling quite evil, like, why didn't I go to the other one? All right. So I guess we can speak in general on the panels because the individual panels, of course, are up for viewing on our YouTube channel, and you guys can certainly go see those and then contact the panelists directly if you have feedback to give them. All I can say is that the lighting was not ideal, so please don't bash us for any lighting issues. It's a university. It's meant for lectures, not for filming panels.
And even that, and it's a university hall, so it's not even like the lecture rooms. This is something totally different. This is like for small meeting rooms, so that way people can come together and do work their projects and stuff. I tried my best to color correct and fix the lighting where I could. Not 100% guarantee, but I tried my best. I did what I could.
Yep.
Even our low-lux camera can only go so far.
And my camera is not low-lux whatsoever, so I did the best I could in the... I guess they're incandescent lights, the incandescently lit room that I was in that had no lights on in the back.
Yeah. Woo! Oops.
But at any rate, the panelists seem to be chosen very well.
Mm-hmm.
All of the panels that I attended, the panelists knew their stuff. They presented very well. They used the time that was allotted to them. In other words, they didn't go real short of the time. They didn't speed through everything in 20 minutes. And they didn't go long. They didn't slow things down. The panelists all had time for audience Q&A at the end. They answered the questions that they were asked. And I honestly have absolutely no complaints about most of the panels. The only panel that I had issue with, and again, this is constructive criticism. I'm not laying it down on anybody whatsoever, is that the panel that was on the 3D modeling would have been a very good panel, but I do wish that there was some indication that this was product specific. They used something I believe called Fusion. So if you didn't know how to use Fusion, you would be completely lost. And two, that it was a highly technical panel. It wasn't a general procedural how-to, which is originally how it was thought of, that this is a very technical, basically intermediate level. Here's how to do this with this particular product. That's the only criticism that I have, because otherwise it was a really well done panel. I mean, technical issues aside, because they ended up flipping rooms at one point and everybody had to switch equipment at the last minute. There were all sorts of just random technical issues at the con, but that's not unique to ArlingCon. That happens at every convention.
Every con. I will say, though, that's one of the reasons why I suggested to Amber that we go to this, is because I saw the panel listing and I was like, wow, they have a lot of stuff that we haven't seen before, that we haven't recorded before, and there's definitely a diversity in content. I was like, you know what? It might be worth us spending the day to do this and try to bring it to you guys. And I'm really happy with the stuff that I've uploaded so far. Even with the makeup panel, the focus on that one was more about how to get into the industry, how to navigate it, what to do when you want to start it up as a business. But she also gave some really great tips to apply makeup, how to store it, how to use it. So we had a good mix of both business and practicality. So that was nice.
Yep. And we didn't only have instructional content for the panel. Some of the panels were cosplay contests, basically, without the actual contest portion. So we had the kids contest, which we did take pictures of. And they were adorable.
Super adorable. Oh my goodness. The Voltron was just, mom and dad did good.
Yeah, they basically ended up holding it in the cafe area where there was a long walkway so that people could just sit on both sides of it and just watch the kids as they, you know, just kind of gallop down the walkway. Some of them had their hands held because, you know, some of the kids in the contest were very young. Very young. There weren't any prizes really with this. It was just more of, hey, you did good participation kind of thing. I believe it was sponsored by Heroic Inner Kids,
mm-hmm.
who does a lot of charity work with kids in hospitals. So this was a really good thing on their part. Plus, it gives you a little bit of experience from a younger age. And if you've never been in a contest before, you can always watch and see how they do it, basically. Now, granted, they're kids. They don't pose. They don't stop at all. So you can't really expect too much out of the pictures, honestly, simply because there's only so much you can do when the kid is literally running down the walkway and not stopping at all.
This is when Val turned on flash.
There was also a giant bar of light that was right in the beginning of the walkway, like where the kids were coming in. So the bar of light was facing us. It was one of those pillars that has a giant LED panel on it. which really got in the way of things. It made the kids look very backlit.
Yes.
And washed out. But they did a good job. And right after that, basically we had lunch. And they have their own little internal cafe there where they have actually an executive chef in residence who supervises the preparation of the food. And he was actually there at the cash register, you know, watching all the people come in. Everybody looked really happy to be able to have access to what is basically homemade food. It was all fresh food. It was not frozen and then microwaved. It was all made right there. And you could tell.
It wasn't convention food where it was like, here's your nachos. It's like,
yeah,
okay.
This wasn't hot dogs and the things that are usually terrible for you. They had Asian fare. They had all sorts of stir-fried veggies. They had make your own nachos if you really wanted to. But this was actually like, they had veggies. They had proteins.
Like
they had shredded cheese, not Velveeta. Like, this was actual, like, we actually cut the tortillas and made tortilla chips by hand kind of thing. They had pizza, which I partook a little bit of. They even had frozen yogurt, which I have not had since I was a kid. And I'm sure that there are pictures floating around of me eating this, of being in complete heavenly bliss.
I did not take any photos of this, I promise.
Okay, thank goodness.
I know better.
You can just imagine me in bliss having strawberry frozen yogurt for the first time since I was a kid. But the nice thing about this is that it was buffet style. So you paid a flat rate and then you basically went in and had self-service and had as much or as little of all the various things. And they even had gluten-free options, which when you go to a convention, if you have special dietary needs, having just something like that seems like such a small thing, but it's really a big thing.
It's a big deal.
It means you can actually have real food. You don't.
That's my big problem.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, we have quite a few friends who have various needs, who are either gluten intolerant or lactose intolerant or diabetic or allergic to various foods. And so basically when you have something like this, like, you can actually have some.
You can have a meal.
A real meal. And you can have seconds. And not only that, but they also had things like fruit where you could take it with you for later, which was also nice. So after we ate lunch, because I don't want to like talk too much about food, otherwise I will talk forever. We watched the runway contest, and this wasn't so much a contest as it was more of a catwalk.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's just a runway catwalk.
It's basically people showing off their costume without the stress of being on a stage, because it really is stressful if you haven't been on a stage. And again, there weren't any prizes given for this. This was just I want to show off my work and have people take pictures of me.
Here's my cool costume. Enjoy.
Right. And it was held in the same area as the kids' contest, so at least we had a really good idea of where to set up and what the lighting would be like.
I tried to pit myself at the end, hoping I could get something better, and that didn't work very well.
No. Nope.
They really needed to turn on all the lights to make that better, because it was just... oh, the lighting's horrible.
It was yellow and dim and wow.
Lots of flashes were involved and they didn't really help.
Because it also blinds the people, which is why they always tell you don't use flash when you're in a cosplay contest. It's not because they're trying to annoy the photographers. It's because you blind the cosplayers. And unfortunately, the cosplay runway kind of ran into a bit of the same problem that the kids had, which is that people didn't stop, and they didn't pose. Now, to be fair, there were actually a few people. There were a handful of people that stopped.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they usually only stopped once, and it was at the beginning of the runway, right in the middle of the bar of light.
So you really couldn't see them, and with me being at the end, I was like, I can't take a photo of them. Yeah.
So I got the best pictures that I could. I tried to anticipate where they'd stop, because sometimes you can read the body language that they're going to stop. And I think sometimes people who wouldn't have normally stopped and posed because the person right before them did.
Did, yeah.
And they noticed that everyone suddenly took pictures and, you know, people would smile, the people on the sides would smile and give them a thumbs up, like, thank you. And of course, they could see that there were cameras lined up on the side and people with cell phones and such taking pictures. but they could see each other because they were sitting at the end of a hallway that kind of turned into the walkway. So they can see the person before them that went. And so if they saw the person before them stopped, the chances were good that the people after them did. So it always helps. Please let us take good pictures of you guys. Please stop for even 5 seconds is better than none, because that gives us the best chance of getting a not so blurry photo of you. Cameras are amazing nowadays. They can do incredible things. They can't, you know, basically force you to stop. So you kind of have to help us out as photographers so that you don't get blur. Otherwise, that's all we see of you is just a blurry halo because, hey, bar of light right in the middle. All right. And once we had finished that, which there were a lot of people who did the walkway, I think they had probably a good 40 or 50 people.
Yeah, there were quite a number of people that were there in costume.
Yeah. And they do mention that all cosplayers are welcome, so it was not age limited for this. Anybody could do it of any level, because again, there's no judging. So basically, this was a show-off thing. Once we had finished that, we had a tiny bit of downtime, and then we headed upstairs and basically divvied out the afternoon panels between us. But one thing I did want to briefly remark on before we start into the cosplay contest, since we've basically already covered the panels in general, is that they had a gaming room. This is one of my other few critiques of the convention. And I mean this as constructively as possible because I am a gamer. I want people to game. I want their gaming to be successful. It was kind of tucked away in a back room and it wasn't well labeled unless you got up close to it. And I didn't see anything on the other signs basically saying gaming this way. Basically, you only saw gaming when you happened right in front of the room. So my suggestion would be to more prominently display something that says, you know, gaming in large font. Large friendly letters, as they would say in Hitchhiker's Guide. And, you know, giant red arrow just going here. Or just bring it out into the commons area and have a checkout system so that if you say, give them your ID or something, and then you go and grab a game, and when you're done with it, you turn the game back in, you get your collateral back, whatever it happens to be. And they could do that too, because we did see a few people that were playing games. I think I saw Munchkin as one of the games, and they probably had Catan. There were a few various board game, tabletop game kind of things that they had in the room. And people seemed to be very happily gaming, those that were in the room. Just, I want more because gaming is such an integral part of the convention. More people need to do it. Plus, it's good for socializing at cons. And cons are supposed to be, you know, chill, relaxing sort of places. So once that was done, we basically finished the afternoon panels. And then we met back downstairs after frantically trying to text each other and having reception problems again. Because that's how you coordinate at cons, people. You text each other.
And hope for the best.
Yes. And hope it arrives in a timely fashion, because that's really the killer. It's not that you don't get it. It's that you get it like 2 hours after you were supposed to.
Which is usually par for the course.
Yes. So then we had the cosplay contest. And the cosplay contest was actually held in the theater that was in that area, which meant it had really nice seats. However, it meant that it had really close seats together, which made it a little hard for our equipment, because we do film on a tripod that has, you know, decently wide legs, because that's what tripods do. It's supposed to help hold things level. And some of the cosplayers who were behind me, their feet kept bumping right up against it. So I apologize if you guys see any shakes in the footage. I had to set the tripod at the end of an aisle because you can't really set it in the middle of one. But the contest seemed to go off really well. This is one of my other constructive criticisms. I think this is going to be my final constructive criticism, is that one of the people who was running the convention kept showing up in the frame on stage. It's like, but we want to see the cosplayers in the frame. I mean, we really appreciate, you know, everything that he did at the con, because the con went so well, but it's basically supposed to show off the cosplayer. So usually we ask that other people clear the stage. Except for the host, if you have a host, because usually they'll be sitting at a podium, which is what they did on this one. They had a podium with mics. I was a little surprised that they offered the cosplayers microphones.
Okay, so you haven't been to some of these, because a lot of the local ones, especially with these small one-day cons and the comic conventions that they have, they do that a lot, actually. That's become the norm for North Texas and the troop here. So you won't see it happen in anime cons, but you will definitely see this happen a lot at the comic conventions and the casual conventions.
Because I can see that they do it, just that they also have to understand that they are taking a risk.
Yeah, there is a risk involved.
Because basically, it's meant to encourage people to act in character, to kind of add a little bit of flavor to it, since whatever they say on stage, if they're, you know, giving a line from the character, you can't hear it very well. Even though it's a theater, it didn't seem to have any sort of acoustic paneling or acoustic building to where your voice carries to the edge of the theater, so they had to use mics if you spoke. But they could have said anything. They weren't pre-screened whatsoever that I could tell. Thankfully, nobody did anything stupid. But it's not to say that, you know, it hasn't happened at a convention before. So that was a little surprising, but thankfully went off without a hitch. They basically did everything traditionally by the book. The entry for, I think it was Little Shop of Horrors, took mm-hmm. a little long.
Which I understand.
Longer than the other contestants.
Which makes sense. It was a bigger, bulkier costume, but even after they did their little
bit. It was a little banter thing that took a little while.
That took a little while. It was like, okay, it's time to move you off. Because I would say that the contest for the number of people that they had, it went on a little too long. It should have already been done by 6 and closing down, but it was well after 6 when they were done.
Right. I want to say that they had 30-something contestants.
I think they said 35.
That sounds right. So if you figure most average contests will give you 30 seconds on stage, that's a pretty standard allotment. Then at most, maybe 20 minutes total should have been the contestants on the stage. I think they took well over, I want to say, 35 minutes. They had almost a full minute each, which is surprising. I mean, it still wasn't that bad. I mean, I don't want to say bad in the sense that, oh, it was terrible. No, it's just a little surprising, because one of the things about ArlingCon is that it's a family convention. There were a lot of kids in the audience, young kids. And for those who have been parents or babysat, we know that kids' attention span does not really last that long. And so perhaps having them in a theater with a contest that's over an hour long since they started late may be a little difficult for them to tolerate.
Yeah, I will say that the final video that I put up, and this was cutting out the time in between for judging and then also some of the time at the beginning, mm-hmm. It was still over 40 minutes long.
Yep.
That was a long, long contest. It was still fun and I enjoyed it. Yeah. I'm a cosplay mom and I like to support my cosplayers when I can. So I was like, let's sit through this. It could be fun. And, you know, it was enjoyable. It was cool to see the different costumes and the amount of variety that people had.
They did a really good job. Those who were up on stage, fantastic. Most of them stopped and posed, did multiple poses. I would suggest, and this is not meant, you know, to be any sort of negative, just as a help out tip, for next year, you may want to use painter's tape, those who are running the convention contest, and mark out spots for the cosplayers to stop. Because some of them seem to know instinctively, but some of them would stop like far off to one side or the other, which kind of affected one's ability to do photography, especially since the podium was kind of in the way on one of the sides. So that may help out you guys, and it will help them out to know where to stop and do their pose. Because other than that, the judging went fairly quickly. I agree, for the most part, you know, rumors aside, I agree with their choices. I didn't seem to, you know, hear about any scandals going on. There didn't seem to be any drama. The judges were all well qualified. They were diverse. You know, they covered the gamut of cosplay skills. They all had their prejudging, so they did include craftsmanship. You know, so other than that, you know, I have no complaints about the contest. And they're not even really complaints. They're constructive criticisms. Other than that, as I'm looking through the guide, because again, I'm needing reminders, they had quite a few featured guests in there. The guests weren't all together with their tables, so it took a little bit of doing for us to kind of find and track and go talk to all of the people, because the cosplay guests, even some of those who weren't the judges, they still had other cosplay guests who had tables. The panelists did. And they had some magnificent things displayed at their tables that, I really hope people got a chance to see, because they had solid work. The convention, I don't know how they tracked attendance. I hope they were able to so that they could, release numbers afterward and see how many people attended. But everybody was given a wristband that you had to display through the con. They didn't do badges for this. And that worked fairly well. I probably would have recommended maybe changing the color because the blue is like painter's tape blue. But other than that, the system worked very well. They didn't have to mess with badges, so there weren't any long lines when you went to get in.
Yeah, and technically they didn't need to use the wristbands. The wristbands were given to people because there was a local restaurant that was giving a 15% off discount if you showed that you were at Arlincon. So you just had to show that you had the wristband, because there were some people who were like, "Nah, I don't want it." So they were able to walk around freely.
Right. And they had people everywhere who were library staff to point people in the right direction if they got lost or to ask where something was, because even the bathrooms weren't necessarily well marked. So sometimes you just had to ask, where's the nearest bathroom?
We went on a bathroom hunt. You
When you
gotta
gotta go, you gotta go.
go.
It's a convention, man.
I think overall, though, I mean, it's a nice tiny one-day convention. It was just straightforward,
It was
simple.
not tiny.
By comparison to the stuff that we attend.
By comparison to something like Anime Fest or Akon,
Or
yes.
Anime Expo. It was a library convention. I've been to a couple of these before. It's
Yes.
probably the largest library convention I've been to, but I've been to these before. So it's very casual, easygoing. You basically go to chill, hang out with friends, probably wear a costume. If not wear a costume, then you get to buy some fun things, learn some new stuff. So, I mean, it was cool.
It was a very chill con, very relaxing. It had kind of all con vibes to it. We had a chance to catch up with some friends outside of the panel area and just, say hi, have some lunch with them, just chat. And all in all, very worth it, especially because the convention was free. Which I don't
Woohoo!
know if we've mentioned this, but the convention doesn't cost you anything to get in.
It was free and free parking.
Yes. And there were ample amounts of free parking, although they had to make sure that they instructed the university security, aka university police, to not ticket cars that were in the staff parking because they designated a couple of free lots for us so that we could, have a place to put our cars and not have to walk forever. Because, as those who are at Anime Expo understand, walking in the heat
It sucks.
sucks. Especially if you are in costume, being outside in the heat sucks.
There was someone dressed as Marie Antoinette. She looked lovely. I was like, "Oh my goodness, you are a brave soul for wearing that in this heat."
There were
She looked
people in
stunning.
fursuits that I felt really sorry for just because it was so hot outside. And it was still, decently warm inside. Thankfully, they have a good air circulation system so that even though you couldn't necessarily feel the cold until you got into the classrooms, the panel rooms, I mean, outside, there was still movement so that you didn't quite feel as hot. Although the area where they had the Star Wars teams, the Rebel Legion, the 501st, Heroic Inner Kids, basically that area was all glass windows, and I felt so bad for
Yeah.
them because that area, it's just like a magnifying glass. It just heats you up. But it was a very nice con. I don't necessarily know that we would return next year simply because of the distance from where we are. It's not very centrally located to us. So I think if they moved it a little closer in, that we'd consider going again. So I don't know. We will see.
I think it'll just depend on what kind of panels they throw out there. And if it ends up being something different and new again, and be like, okay, maybe it'll be worth going. Because again, it's free.
Yep.
I have a Prius. I don't care.
And granted, it also depends a little bit on scheduling, because I know that quite a few people, pardon me, in the local area missed it because of Anime Expo, because they were prepping for Anime Expo and thus couldn't be at ArlingCon for that reason. So, of course, we hope that those who are at Anime Expo this weekend are having a fantastic time despite the heat. So, again, if you guys want to view the panels that we filmed from ArlingCon, you guys can see those on our YouTube, which, of course, you can find us as, I believe, we are a Cost Podcast.
Yes.
Yes. Of course, you can see our links from our handy new website, which is cospod.org. We have all of the links that you would need to find us everywhere on the internet there.
All the interwebs everywhere, and on every YouTube video, I always link them like crazy. As far as the cosplay contest, because it used so much copyrighted music, it is not on YouTube. So far, I've been able to keep it up on Facebook and haven't run into any problems. And it's probably because Ben, the MC, he's got a very loud and booming voice, and it kind of goes over a lot of the music. So I think that's why I haven't been pulled yet. But it is on our Facebook page. So view that, have fun, enjoy it. I tried to color and light correct it as much as I possibly could. I am so sorry. It was one of those where... And I don't know why they did it this way. When they introduced the judges, they didn't have any of the stage lights on. It was just the house lights, but the house lights were really dim. So it was like, you couldn't really see them even with our really nice camera. So I was like, oh, great. But then once they got onto the stage and the contest actually started, the stage lights came on, then it was fine. So I was like, okay, well, I tried.
Plus the judges were sitting in chairs in the audience. They were sitting in the front row. So if they stood up, well, there's still people sitting in front of them, so you can basically only see them from the shoulders up. But they had good guests this year.
They did.
All right. So with that finished, I believe that's all we have for you guys this episode 171 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. If you guys would like to give your feedback, if you happen to be at ArlingCon, or if you're at Anime Expo and want to tell us all about the heat wave, or any other feedback that you guys might have, you know, show us what you're working on. You can contact us via any of our social media, which you can find here.
Including our website and our Discord and all the other stuff in between that's just kind of filling up the screen. I'm just going to copy and paste the links everywhere. Maybe what I need to do is I need to start doing the Star Wars call and just kind of go all the way up. I think that'll work.
Would be epic.
I need to do that. That'll be my plan. Maybe not this episode, but next episode.
And of course, we do encourage you guys to join our Discord, as we're filling up quite nicely and we are having all sorts of bizarre conversations, not just about cosplay, but apparently about He-Man videos and Game of Thrones and Steven Universe and all sorts of random things that just happen to come across our feet.
That's why we have the random channel.
We have a random channel. We have a cosplay channel. We have a channel where you guys can just talk about the show. Things you want to see on the show. Things you like about the show. Things you'd love to change about the show. We are happy to accept all comers, provided that you guys, of course, are standard civil human beings, which, you know, we don't ask for much.
Standard civil human beings.
That's pretty much it. As long as you are a civil human being, we will happily accept you.
Okay, then. I'm okay with this rule.
Otherwise, we will wish you guys happy cosplaying. We will see you guys in episode 172. Have fun, everybody.
Bye, guys. Happy cosplaying.